presentation, any idea, anything? All right. So basically, what we got here is all right. So the goal for the next hour is I'm going to give you a little bit of background as far as a little bit about me, where I come from, a little bit about the whole WMD package project, things like that, as well as I'm going to try to keep it a little bit interactive, keep it a little bit fun. I got some free stuff I'm going to be giving away, so it's always a good thing, right? At the end, I'm hoping that I'm going to have some time for Q&A. Otherwise, we'll be able to go upstairs and you guys can ask me any questions. And I'm actually going to be doing a live demo here. Hopefully, everything works. So, free stuff. All right, throughout my presentation, I've got a couple of trivia questions. These trivia questions are general, random trivia. Some of them are technically related. Guys, the people that win, you guys get a free pre-configured WMD package. Take home, try, don't have to worry about it. If you decide that you don't want to use it or whatever, you get a free micro SD card. So either way, you win. All right, so who am I? I'm a big geek, so that's why I'm here. If I wasn't, I probably wouldn't be here. Besides that, I've been in information technology as long as I can remember. I started way back on an Apple IIe, way back in the day, had an Atari, all that fun stuff. I got my security start back in 2000 with the whole Y2K thing, if anybody was around for that. It was more of a moneymaker for us than anyone else, just to bill hours. So that was where I kind of got my start. I spent the next few years going with a couple of different companies related to compliances, federal compliance, mostly HIPAA, GLBA, stuff like that. Then from there, I progressed over to a PCI company. Some of you guys might be familiar with PCI. It's the credit card industry standard, things like that. Found my niche in some of the odd non-standard devices. Started with hacking my PSP. If you're familiar, you can actually turn that into a war driving device. You can actually do some Wi-Fi sniffing, things like that on a PSP. So from there, I went into some of the RF technologies, some of the RF credit cards, things like that. And finally found myself messing around with phones. Phones today are more complex, more closer to a computer than phones were at any other time. There's so much that we take for granted that's on our phones that we integrate into our life that most people don't realize that it really is more than just a phone. So what the hell is the WMD project? Well, the WMD project is based around a framework that I developed for assessing the security vulnerabilities of allowing technical devices into otherwise secure areas. So a lot of organizations put a lot of security devices, firewalls, NAT, all kinds of security controls into their organization, into their infrastructure, but still allow you to take anything you want in physically. So think about how many devices you carry on you on a daily basis. iPod, smartphone, cameras, etc. As all of these devices evolve, they remove the old hard recording media to move over to the digital memory cards, digital recording space. And how do you get the data off, right? We connect it to a computer, stick in a USB cable, and we can happily create home movies, porn, whatever. But think about that. How many devices today are accepted to be used in your office, in your data centers? How many of them are allow you to transfer data to and from a device, whether it's taking pictures off or putting text files or whatever on those devices as well? What would you do if you walked into work and as you walked in, security guard said, you can't bring your cell phones in anymore. From this day on, we no longer allow cell phones on the premises. I know me, I would probably, just holler, create a fight with the guard, cause a big ruckus, and still probably put my phone in my pocket, walk in, and deal with it later. A high percentage of those people would also create major complaints, storm to their boss's office, flood email service, cause general chaos because they can't carry their cell phones with them during the day. Our acceptance and the necessity of technology in our lives drives what security policies and procedures are put in place and what is considered acceptable risk. So the WMD package itself. I developed this project on an AT&T Tilt 2. So it happened to be the phone that I had, and needless to say, R&D dollars out of my own pocket. I have to work with what I have. At one point, I had one of the US Cellular Touch Pro 2s to work with, which I actually thought was a much nicer device, in particular for the way that the keyboard keys map. But I don't have US cell service, so got to work with what I got. The WMD package can actually be run on 6 different phones. The list here, are we still on this? No, we're a page too far. There we go. All right. So the 6 different phones that are listed here, you can run the WMD package on. All you have to do is change a few of the settings in one of the files we'll cover later. And from that point on, full keys are mapped. You have CDMA, 3G support, things like that, all from your phone while you're actually in the WMD package. Unfortunately, right now, the hardware on this does not support monitor mode, no AirCrack NG. So it's one of the things that I'm actually working on to get into one of the next releases. As some of the phones, some of the drivers, things like that come around, we'll be able to start integrating that into the WMD package, and you'll actually be able to crack WAP, WPA, things like that from your phone. Needless to say, the phones really don't support the storage space for like rainbow tables and things like that. Plus, the amount of time that it'll take you to crack a WPA2 key on a quarter to a half a gig of processor power, it's probably going to take you more than you want to spend. So you're better off just sitting in a parking lot with a nice big antenna, grabbing it on your computer. You can go sit in the lobby and make it look like you're texting the whole time. So you're still able to use the Wi-Fi on there. It's fully supported. It's just the actual act of cracking it on it. You need a little bit more processor power. You need a little bit more memory space. So the inspiration that came in behind actually getting this thing together. The WMD package was created to bring a similar type of all-in-one penetration testing specific operating system to the smartphones, similar to the way that Backtrack does. Now, I want to say right off, I have no affiliation with Backtrack, remote security, offensive security, any of those guys. But at the same time, I wouldn't be where I am today doing pen tests, things like that. The knowledge that I have from Linux without those guys have been doing the dev work long, long before that I ever got into it. And why a phone? Well, really? Shit, I don't know. It just sounded cool. Sounded like it was a pretty awesome idea to have a hacking platform anywhere I decided to go. I have to give a huge shout out to the guys over at the XDA developers. If you guys aren't familiar with who XDA is, they specialize in hacked ROMs for HTC phones, smartphones. The CDMA version of them is the PPC Geeks. Check them out. They're really cool. The Ubuntu team, especially everybody that's mentioned up there, those guys answered my questions at 3:30 in the morning while I'm sitting there banging my head against a table trying to get something to work. So I got to give a big shout out to those guys. Remote Exploit, the devs, like I said, these guys, you know, they came up with the idea of creating a pen test platform long before I ever had the idea of putting it on a phone. Without them, I wouldn't have been able to do this project. So what's actually inside the WMD package? I'm going to do a quick list of some of the major stuff that's in there. There's a ton of tools in there. I basically took the repository and the utilities that I could from the Backtrack 4 distros, brought them into this because it is based on Ubuntu 9.04 with Backtrack 4 actually moving to Ubuntu. Made it so much easier. So do a quick rundown. We got Metasploit in there. We've got the Social Engineers Toolkit in there, Nmap, Ettercap, Wireshark, formerly known as Ethereal, We've got an Apache server that runs, OpenSSL, OpenSSH. VNC is fully supported. Aptitude's in there, so that you can do an apt-get against any package that you want out there that's ported over to ARM. And it even works as a phone. So you can get and receive phone calls, SMS messages, text messages, and everything while you're actually ported over into WMD. I want to say right now, this is not made to replace your OS. There are still some buggy issues with where you can hear the person talking on the other line and they can't hear you. So it's one of the other things that I'm actually still working through. But it does still fully function. You can send, you can receive text message, all that fun stuff. And it doesn't make any changes to your phone either, which is a good bonus. So let's get to a little background of how we actually have to get this thing set up. The WMD package is made to run up from a micro SD card. That's just the SD cards that fit into all of these phones. It can be installed to the card, so I've actually got two versions. There's an installed version, there's a live version. The installed version, you can extend the file system memory space to as large as the card is. So if you have a 32 gig card and you want 1 gig for your space to be able to swap files between your host phone and your WMD package, you can create a 1 gig file for that, you can create a 1 gig swap file, and you still have 30 gigs of space as your local file system. So you can store your PCAP files, you can store everything, you can export them to and from the devices and you know, your computer, everything like that. The live one is limited to a 4 gig file system, and that's only because the main formatting for the partition is FAT32, so you've got 4 gig memory file space limitations. The WMD package is not meant to replace your phone's OS. It does not directly interact with the host OS. What it does is it works on a driver level, very similar to the way that VMware works on your on a host computer. And that's the best way to think about it, is it's a VM machine that's running on a smartphone. As covered earlier, with a few setting changes, the WMD can be set up to run on 6 different phones. It supports being executed from Windows Mobile 6, 6.1, or 6.5. So any of those devices that were listed or any of their incarnations are able to be run, the WMD package is able to be run. So, I added this part. I got one slide here. There we go. All right, so I added this slide actually because I was at a local DEF CON meeting, and I had presented this talk for a call for papers for one of the other cons, and one of the guys was there talking about how they were handling the con and everything. I was like, well, mine didn't get picked. So they're like, well, you know, it was nothing special. This has been done before, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, all right, cool, you know. So I started doing some research, and it really was. Back in about 2008, there was a development package for the Nokia N900, OpenMoco, and FreeRunner. But where are they? Nobody has them. Then there was the whole cost of the hardware. If you look for the Nokia N900s, they still run somewhere between $350 to $500. You got a 32 gig onboard storage space. With WMD, you can get that on the micro SD cards. Plus, they had an undisclosed price for actually purchasing the software for it. WMD, free. Free. You guys can go to the website, kismyanthia.com. All the instructions, all of the development notes, all of the downloads, everything is there for free. If you do surf around the site, you will be able to, I mean, it's got tabs up at the top, go to the various different sections, and everything there, you know, you can submit a question. I've answered them personally. I've done the dev work on this. I've actually been working on the whole project for a little under 2 years. So I've worked through a lot of the bugs, things like that. No problem helping anybody that wants to actually get this thing up and running. So this presentation is actually going to focus on the installed version of the WMD package. This will allow us to get the largest amount of disk space and file system space for the root of the WMD package. And again, everything that you need can be downloaded from kismyanthea.com. Within the downloads, you'll find a collection of the following files, specifically the main ubuntu.image file. This is everything that houses the WMD package. Herit.exe is the executable that you actually run from the Windows mobile phone. Particularly startup.txt, that is where all of your settings for the different phone platforms are going to be configured before you boot this. So the other files listed are going to be included when you download it. You need them all for runtime. You need them all for the boot process. They're there for a reason. Make sure you have them when you actually go through the process. And when you actually run it, it should boot up pretty successfully. So first giveaway, free stuff. All right. So the number that is on the screen, this number I'm not even going to try to figure out what it is, represents all the theoretical available what. All right, this is a raise your hand, you know, first person. And this was a DEF CON Jeopardy question, and it relates to TCP/IP. Man in the back. That is correct. Come on up. WMD package. So that's just to get an idea of the type of questions that we're gonna that are gonna come through. Got a couple more giveaways as we go through this, so everybody will get a chance. I think that was pretty much kind of the hardest one. I think, I don't know, might be. So, all right. So let's get this started. The first thing that we need to understand is how we have to format the card. The order of the partitions is very important. The first partition needs to be the FAT32 partition. This is where any of the files that will be read by Windows Mobile are housed, as well as this is where any of your data that you're going to swap between the WMD package and your host are going to be stored. The reason that this actually has to be that first partition is if you change that partition order and you put the card in, Windows Mobile will prompt you, I don't know what this card is, I want to format it. And everybody goes, oh shit, I did everything right, but what? Why won't this work? I spent about 6 hours with one of the guys on the XDA forum site trying to figure this out. Finally figured it out. This was the order. Just understand that really does matter. The second partition will be the ext2 partition, standard Linux partition. This is going to be the root file system for the WMD package. And the third one is actually going to be our swap partition. So all the steps we will cover were done on an Ubuntu machine, as well as all my development. That does not mean that you can't do this on a Mac. It doesn't mean you can't do this on a Windows machine. It just means that everything that we cover are going to be Linux related, and I've had the least amount of issues doing it on a Linux host. So again, if somebody is trying this, if you have any questions, hit me up, shoot me an email, Twitter, whatever. All right. So we're going to be using an 8 gig card as we go through this process. 8 gig is what I recommend as the minimum. The live version, I've just done a light version that you can get on a 4 gig card, but you only get like 300 meg at most in the root file system section. We're going to be using Qparted. Anybody that's been in the Linux world is probably familiar with Qparted. And the first thing that we want to do is we want to make sure that the card is completely empty. I've run into some issues where if you are trying to just delete everything from the card and then copy it over, you can get some space issues, some files kind of hang, things like that. Best thing to do, just format it from scratch and then go from there. The first partition is going to be our FAT partition. In this portion of it, being that we have an 8 gig card, we're going to use 1 gig's worth of space to actually store all our files for the Windows Mobile section. So I've had a number of people that have not prepped this card like this. Hence why I make sure that I make it very clear that you want that FAT32 partition to be your first partition. All right, next one, our root file system. Again, we're going to use EXE2. We're going to use 5.5 gigs, being that it's an 8 gig card. And if you're familiar with Kuparted, they've got this little line right at the bottom of the free space following. We're going to set that to 1 gig. That's going to be our swap space once we get done creating the root file system here. And there it is. So, and finally, we got the swap partition, 1 gig, pretty self-explanatory. So once you have all your partitions set up like this, make sure that it looks just like that in the window. Kuparted adds the nice little colors. And go ahead and click the checkbox. It'll write everything to the card, and it should read like that. So again, stressing, that order is very important. SDD1, FAT32, SDD2, EXD2, and then SDD3 is your swap partition. So, giveaway 2. All right, first animal ever cloned. I got you back there first. Yes, that is true. Know the name? Yes, it was actually. There you go. All right, so we've got the card prepped. Now we actually need to start copying everything over. When the files are copied over, the structure should look as similar to this as possible. Actually, it should look exactly like this, not as possible, but it should look like this. The capitalization, the uppercase, lowercase of like your files doesn't matter. It just has to be set up, structured like that. So most of the files that you've downloaded, except for the Ubuntu image file, will be actually copied over to the FAT32 section. You'll have your, in particular, Herit and startup.txt in the Ubuntu folder, the remainder of those, and then the only two that will be actually in the root of the storage card will be sound.sh and the background logo. Feel free to use it anywhere you want if you want to. If not, delete it, whatever. So that's what the root of the micro SD card should look like. The that image is actually the 0.0. It's changed. It's now the new one. If anybody that gets the card, you'll see it later. And then inside the Ubuntu folder, it should have all six of those files. Again, herit.exe and startup.txt being the main important. So first thing that we want to do is, now that we have everything formatted, everything ready to go, we need to make our mount point for the image. So we're actually going to mount that Ubuntu.image file right onto the Linux box. And to begin, you got to create your mount point. I personally, during the development, used mount/WMD, made it real easy. I knew where I was browsing, things like that. Quick command make directory mkdir /mnt/wmd. And then we actually do the mount. So once we got the mount point created, we actually want to mount the WMD image file, the Ubuntu.image, to that one that we just created. So first you got to browse to wherever you downloaded and extracted it to. Once you're in that location, like mine's very obnoxious and long. Once you get there, you'll find your Ubuntu.image. Use the command mount Ubuntu.image, specify your mount location, and then you have to have that -o loop. If you don't have that, you'll actually start getting some errors, and you want to make sure that when you actually hit enter, you're not receiving any error messages or anything like that, because if you do, you're not going to be able to do the next steps. And then actually to actually perform the copy, we're going to create a rooted Nautilus window. Again, we're using Ubuntu. You can use any file browser that you choose to. It's just got to have the root permissions set up for it. So once you type in gksudo nautilus, it'll pop up a window for you. Within the window, that's when you're actually going to start browsing and start doing some of the executions here. So if we browse over to the mounted WMD point, you'll start seeing all these files. Now, all these files are the root file system, all your included packages, everything that makes the WMD package. So you're going to want to do like a control A, highlight them all, however you want to do it. Click copy. And then while you're still in this rooted window, you're going to want to browse over to your EXT partition that you created on your micro SD card. Once you get over there, you'll actually be able to start doing the copy process. Once all the once you have copied all the files, this really can take a little bit of time. You have to be real patient. It takes a few minutes, if up to about 7 minutes, to get all the files copied. It's about 2.9 gigs. Make sure that you let it finish completely, because if you don't, when you actually try to run it, you'll start getting all kinds of errors and things like that. And I recommend using a memory card reader that has a status light on it. You know, if you're familiar with them, that one of the ones that blinks, because when it stops blinking, you know it's actually stopped writing files to the card. Even though Ubuntu might say it's done, that light will still keep blinking on you. And until that light's done, you don't want to really muck with the card. You don't want to rip it out or anything like that. So while the files are actually being copied over, because it takes a little bit, we can actually start moving back over to the FAT32 partition, and we can start editing the startup.txt. This file is where you actually specify what the host device is. This is where you specify your key mappings. This is where, if you have a CDMA device versus a GSM device, you'll specify CDMA on. You can actually change your wireless antenna's MAC address in this file, so you can manipulate that a little bit. For my development, again, I used the AT&T Tilt 2. With the Tilt 2, all I had to do was actually edit the FIZ keyboard equals Tilt 2, and all the other settings are just standard from the startup.txt file. If you actually are using one of the other devices, if you go to the kismyanthea.com, it lists every single step that you have to take and add it in that text file to make it work on any of the other devices. So at this point, if all the files have been successfully copied, the startup.txt file has been successfully edited and saved, the WMD package is pretty much ready to be launched. So first thing that you want to do is obviously put it inside your host phone. Use whatever file browser that you have included. Some of them, if you've already added a separate ROM or whatever, you can have different file browsers. But browse over to the micro SD card. You're going to open up that Ubuntu folder, and you're going to double-click on the Herit.exe. Once you hit that, the next screen should actually run through the boot process. And if everything has been set up successfully, you should see it run through. You'll start to see the screen clear up. So when it first runs, it's a little bit grainy. When it actually starts booting up to the process of loading the text, loading the configuration, things like that, the screen will get real nice and easy to read. If it errs out, the best suggestion is start over. Sometimes, like I said, I've gotten dev issues where if something wasn't quite deleted all the way, something still lapped on the micro SD card, it can kind of hang process, maybe something on one of the files during the copy over. Did not copy over properly. But it is the most successful answer for getting that fixed is just start over. That copy process can take a little bit, but once you're past that, it should go pretty quick. And once you get there, There we go. So after the WMD package boots up and it's completed successfully, you'll actually be presented with the touchscreen calibration window. So it'll look just like this. You'll want to use your stylus for this. If you actually start using your finger, the calibration will be off. The cursor, when you actually start using it, it'll be off a little bit. It's just much easier to set it with the stylus. This will make sure that when you're moving around and you're clicking your menu and you're opening, closing windows, things like that, you don't run into any issues. It just makes life a whole lot easier. The Tilt 2 particularly, every time you boot, you'll be presented with this window because the key mapping is still in dev mode. If you're using any of the Rhodium 100s, Rhodium 200s, 400s, whatever, it'll stay stagnant. You actually delete the key mapping to redo it later. And that's it. If you see the above screen, all your steps have been completed successfully. You can interact with the WMD package just like you would interact with any other Ubuntu instance. You can use the terminal to execute nmap scans, Metasploit, set or installed in a pen test directory, just like on Backtrack. And most of the other utilities have a menu option, or you can run them right from the terminal. In the network section, you'll actually be able to configure the 3G settings. So on the menu here, you'll see network. In there, there's two options. One is configure 3G, one is activate 3G. The only things you have to know is you have to know, like, if you have AT&T, it's wap.singular.com. That's your connection point. Depending on your carrier, you just got to get the carrier details, and you enter them there. And then you click on activate 3G, and you'll have full support. So, and again, make sure that you have your SIM card in when you do that. Otherwise, it doesn't work. I found that one out. Wicked wireless internet controller daemon is used for the wireless network connections. Just like in regular Ubuntu instances, lower right hand corner, you've got the icon. Click on it once, it'll bring it up. Actually, I know everybody's squinting, but it looks just like if you were to run that on an Ubuntu machine. So here's the next giveaway. This is the last one. So what was the first product to have a barcode on it? There you go. Yes, right. It's pretty good. I actually thought that was going to have a longer time for response than anything. So first product to ever have a barcode on it was Wrigley's gum. So some of the release details. Again, just recovering the 3G, Wi-Fi. You can do web pen testing from this over the 3G connections. You can do internal testing over Wi-Fi. You can perform testing just as if you had a Backtrack machine that you were actively working on. So you can do phishing attacks with Social Engineering Toolkit. It's got an MTA agent, Sendmail, that's already in there and configured. Man in the middle, you can do use EtherCap. Spoofing attacks, yes. Wireshark, it runs on the local, so it's not actually able to do all of your packet captures, but you can run it locally to make sure that, like, if you're doing ICMP timestamps for some of the compliance testing and things like that, you'll still get your response on your local interface.
But you wouldn't be able to do all of that.
Right. So, and that brings us to our live demo. So,
oh yeah,
that's right. So, hopefully we can get everything to work properly. Let's see here. So, what we got here is I've got a Windows 2003 server machine. And let's bring up my .5 there. We're gonna bring up Firefox because instead of having everyone squint at me, we're gonna just jump on a VNC session here. And that should start up in a second here. Maybe. There we go. All right. So, now, as I go through here, like I said, this is just a VNC session off my phone. You can actually see it running as I'm going through here. Eventually, we'll open up another terminal here. Open my screen. There we go. All right. So we're going to browse over to the pentest directory. And we're going to go into Metasploit here. Because we're going over a VNC session, I'm actually using the clipboard to execute this stuff. So as I type, you won't quite see most of it. All right, because the Metasploit console does take a little bit here, I'm gonna take some questions if anybody's got them. The processor is only a half gig processor. The console takes a few seconds to get going here. But once it gets going, we'll be able to actually do some exploitation against my target machine here. So anybody got any questions while sitting and waiting for the console to open up? Nobody? Anybody? No? Really? You just hated it? That's cool. It's all right. I don't get paid to be here, so it doesn't matter. One of these days we'll get this thing going. Like I said, the Metasploit console is quite large. It can take up to about a minute to get this thing actually started up and going. Everything else that runs on there, Social Engineers Toolkit integrates with Apache, so you can actually run spoofed websites. JDK is on there for Java interaction. You can use all your actually created, if you want to spoof like a Java error, and you want to create your own so that you specify that error, when it comes up, if somebody's reading the details, it actually lists whatever organization or whatever website that you know you're creating that spoof from. It looks legit. What else is in there? We can run an Nmap scan, actually, while we're waiting for that. It's a little bit laggy, but there we go. All right, so if we do go right in here, so we're just going to run this against my access point. If anybody's in here that has a laptop, please don't hack it. Make things a lot harder. What do I do? What do we got here? You lie. I know you're there. Why is it? That's not true. I just ran you last night. I don't know. Anyway, so we'll try doing that again. And yeah, I can try. It's being that I'm going actually from that. So when I actually go up to the room upstairs, if anyone wants to walk around and actually play with this is my dev phone. You guys are more than welcome to actually play with the terminal, the keyboard, things like that. It is about as big as I'm going to get it up here. So Let's see here. Let's find out what our window is. Let's see if Metasploit's actually launched yet. Still waiting for it. .3 on that. I'm just making this a little bit easier for me, so it really does work. Count that over. Should be working. Let's see if Metasploit's back. No, still loading. Like I said, the console, it does take a few minutes to get going. We still got a couple minutes. Once you get it going, any of the interpreter sessions, any of the interpreter scripts, things like that, they're all included. It is a full Metasploit framework installation. I should have been like a cooking show, and I wish I would have had one, you know, setting in the oven so I can magically take it out quickly, but I thought it was going to be a little bit quicker than this. While it's loading, we can kind of go back to the remainder of the presentation. It's quick. So, yeah, it's really cool to see. Anyway, so, like I said, if you guys are going through this and you want to try it out and you have any questions, you know, feel free, by all means, hit me up, email me, Twitter, Facebook, whatever. I'm on all of them. If you want some more info, this is my site, gizmyanthea.com, for some more details as far as like some of the mobile application hacking, stuff like that. You can check out haylock.com/mobileform.php. Obviously, XDA developers. Awesome site if you guys want to actually start learning how to cook your own ROMs, mess with your phones. Cool place to be. And then Backtrack, because again, without Backtrack, I sure as hell wouldn't be here. So if we run out of time in the next few seconds here and this hasn't run, once we get upstairs, again, it should be loaded by the time we get up there. I can finish everything when we get there and you guys can play with it, run whatever you want from there. And yeah, so that's my spiel. That's what I got. Hey, look, Metasploit. So, do I have a couple more minutes, or are we done? Or I got a couple more minutes. Perfect. I don't need too much. All right, so we're gonna use MS-08. That 067, I'm sure you guys are more than familiar with this. Six, 7 net API. VMC isn't the fastest. It happens a lot faster down here. All right, so. We're going to use an interpreter session. And do a reverse TCP interpreter session here. Go, and we're going to set our L host to that device, which
is dot five, I believe. Oh, of course. There we go. And we're going to set our target host. And if everything has worked phenomenally when I type this, should work. Dancing's extra, you gotta pay for that. Come on, fucker. Alright, there we go, it's starting to kick off. There we go, starting to come to life over here. There we go. So to run through, if you've ever, I'm sure most of you guys have used Metasploit before. When it runs, it'll go through the process. We're at the sending stage. I don't know where it is there. Interpreter session one opened, and as soon as it refreshes, we should have an interpreter shell open. Maybe. Eventually. And there's our interpreter shell. So if we do run hash dump, which is one of the built-in interpreter scripts, it'll run through, and there's our hashes. So you actually can run through this whole thing on your phone. Like I said, it takes a few seconds to get everything up and running. Once it is, there you go. That's me. So that's what I got. Like I said, if you guys have any questions, I'll be upstairs in the case room. So you guys can come up and play with it, and you can check it out. Any questions, again, I'll be up there. All right. That is me. So. All right. That's what I got. Hey.